What's up, y'all? It's B Dangerous back again with another edition of Dangerous Sports. Ooh, I know I haven't done an episode since the birthday edition of the show, but luckily for you listening to this podcast right now, too. But before we do that, please follow your host, B Dangerous, on Instagram and Twitter at DB Dangerous. Also, please follow Dangerous Sports Talk on Spotify, wherever podcasts are available. Also, look at Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, too, because I definitely need to get some credibility over there. I share over there as much as I possibly can, but then sometimes I get so distracted by fucking promoting the show that I fucking forget. So, hey, I apologize for that, and I will try to get more consistent with that. And let's get into it. Sorry, just looking through my alerts and stuff. So, we're just gonna get right into what the episode's title is. The Lakers lose to the Sixers by 44, making this the worst loss that he has suffered in his mighty career. And how do I feel about the Lakers losing by 44 fucking points? Well, I don't feel. Because for one, you have to remember, I'm a loyal Laker fan. And I was used to seeing these type of ass whippings on a nightly basis. 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, hell, maybe even 8 years ago. Them losing by 40 or more was literally a nightly thing. And his fan base thought it was so funny because losing like this was never supposed to happen on his watch, right? So what the fuck happened here? You pretty much just laid down and let Philadelphia do whatever the hell it is they wanted to do to you for 48 minutes. And the score was 138 to 94. And you really want me to feel bad about that? You want me to be embarrassed by that? But when this was Kobe's Lakers, Kobe's D-League Laker team, who couldn't beat their dicks if they tried, or if you paid them to do so. If they got no sympathy, then I'm sorry. And I'm not sorry. Leahy and these Lakers don't deserve any sympathy either. Even though AD had another double-double, okay, no problem. Also, in the last game, he was scoreless. Twice, you've been scoreless in the second half. So you pick and choose when you want to give a fuck and play. Then other games, you don't show up. This inconsistent shit is not okay. The Lakers paid you X amount of money, so they would have a what? What's the word I'm looking for? A safe place to be. After Leahy finally fucking leaves the Lakers and retires. And this is what you show? Yes, I give him credit when he scores big. I give him credit when he performs. But this picking and choosing shit will never be okay with me. And I'm sorry, I don't celebrate big losses. Other people might talk shit about it. They'll talk shit when the Lakers lose anything. They could have lost by one and they still would be talking shit. But when you lose that big, you deserve every piece of the smoke you get. Point blank, motherfucking period. And tonight they play against the Pistons. So, are you gonna get your asses whipped again tonight? Or are you gonna show up and play? Next episode of Dragon Ball Z, we'll just have to wait and see what the hell happens there. Also, we got a little bit more NBA news. So, an OKC player by the name of Josh Giddey allegedly had an improper relationship with an underage girl. Now it's coming out that the alleged teenager and her family refused to cooperate with the police. I wonder why that is. Because I know I don't have any kids. If that was my daughter, and she was allegedly having some sort of improper relationship with anybody, man, woman, whatever. That person needs to be in trouble. that person needs to be in jail. Because what the fuck are you as a grown-ass man talking to my teenager for? As a quote-unquote 30-year-old man, or however old this boy is, you don't have anything in common with my child. You're in the NBA. You can snatch up any woman that you want to. Keyword is woman. But you settle on a teenager. And the funniest thing about this whole case, to me, is how mild the reactions have been. But let this have been a black player on the OKC Thunder, who got caught doing anything inappropriate, texting, calling, sending pics, whatever the case might be, to any underage person. Do you know how much ESPN will be covering this shit? You wouldn't be able to turn on ESPN without hearing about it. First Take would talk about it. Undisputed would talk about it. It would be all over the place. But what we are seeing is the almighty white privilege taking place. Because, like I said, if this were any black player, we already know how this would end. People will be talking about this non-fucking stop. But because he is a non-black player, so much grace and sympathy is being shown. But fuck that. If he does it one time with this alleged teenager, what's to stop him from doing it again? All I know is, if that was my teenager or my child, ain't no way in fuck any grown man is gonna be talking to her. Point blank motherfucking period. Because I absolutely do not condone pedophilia by any means necessary. And those who do partake in that should be in fucking jail. Because as a society, people give pedophiles a lot more grace than they give other people who didn't do half as much. Because you will be stomped the hell out. Especially if he goes to jail. Them boys will fucking love his little pristine ass up in there, but another story for another day. Even though they're saying alleged. Honestly, you did what you did. And if the text messages somehow come out, you're going to be the one that's on the hot seat. And there's not going to be shit you can do to get away from that. Get away from the criticism that you rightfully deserve. And the OKC Thunder management, do what you need to do, because people have been real quiet on this. But just think about it, if this was your daughter, if this young man had a relationship with your daughter, and she was not of legal age, would you have a problem with it? Or would you look the other way? Next topic. Let's see. Oh, we have to talk about Survivor Series, because this was going to be a Survivor Series edition of the show, but when I started hearing other things going on in the NBA, I'm like, yo, I got to talk about this, especially with the Lakers game. I had to address it, I had to talk about it, all that good stuff. But let's get into Survivor Series. The fourth biggest pay-per-view of the year. So we have the Women's War Games. Team Bianca wins over Damage Control. And that was actually a pretty damn good match. I love seeing Bianca Belair do her thing. I love seeing Charlotte do her thing. Please forgive me. The only one that I can remember being in Damage Control is Asuka. And it's a lot of different weird chicks in that group. But as a stable as a whole, they seem to be pretty solid. They can wrestle good. They can play their parts of heels good. Like I said, Team Bianca won that, so that's what I expected. Then you had boring-ass Gunther winning over Miz for the IC belt. And while the match was decent for a pay-per-view match, at least. Did they run out of wrestlers to hold that belt? Because he's held that Intercontinental belt longer than most people have. And I know that when I was growing up, the one that was holding the IC belt more than anybody was fucking Chris Jericho. Granted, there were other guys that had their runs with the belt, like, of course, Chris Benoit. You had Kurt Angle with the belt at one time. You had Edge being the Intercontinental Champion. You had Kurt Angle being the Intercontinental Champion. Why are you letting this man, who has little to no personality, hold this belt for that long? Eventually, something's got to give. Because y'all are giving extended title runs to people who are just boring. I'm sorry. Maybe I have to watch more Gunther matches to get into him. But the fact that he still has the belt is troubling, to me at least. What else we got? Oh, yeah. We had the men's war game match. And that was a pretty damn good match. You had Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and the returning Randy Orton. If you guys know me, you know how much I love Randy Orton, and it's always good to see him back. And I think he just came back from a triple fusion back surgery. So I know that Randy is wrestling on borrowed time. You can only keep wrestling with any sort of neck fusion, back fusion, only but for so long. But while he is here, I'm definitely going to enjoy him. Also, we had R-Truth, who still looks exactly the fucking same from 2001 when he was K-Quick. He returned. Excuse me. And we had Rhea Ripley retaining the women's title. I forget who she wrestled. Please don't ask me. I apologize for that. But this pay-per-view was in Chicago. And something happened that I didn't expect to happen. Or ever happen. Phillip Brooks, also known as CM Punk, returns after being away from the company for 9 fucking years. I'm not gonna lie, I got goosebumps. And he was one of those people that I didn't think the company would take back. And seeing how he fell out with the company the way he did and how public it was, with the whole pipe bomb thing, with him falling out of love with the company, then leaving the way that he did, like, it was a lot. It was a fucking lot, man. Then he goes to, what? UFC. He went to UFC. He lost terribly in the octagon. He was beaten within seconds. Was choked out. I know it was a rear naked choke. I don't remember who it was against, but yeah. It was embarrassing. It was bad. Then he goes to AEW. And he gets fired from AEW. And now he's back with the same company that he condemned for so fucking long. You pretty much foreseen what WWE would become. And after you said all that you said about Vince, Hunter, and Stephanie, you're back with the company. And there are a lot of wrestlers that are not happy about it. I know Seth Rollins doesn't like Punk personally. And I think they're saying this because they're working us. They want to create a feud. And Punk has a lot of fucking heat. He had heat when he left. He had heat when he came back. So are these wrestlers legitimately pissed? I would think they are. Because the same way they're feeling now is the same way that Punk felt when Brock Lesnar came back into the company the first time. And it's just ironic to me how the same feelings that Punk felt, that's what damn near the entire roster on Raw and SmackDown are feeling. But there's also a double-edged sword to it. What's to stop Punk from becoming complacent again with the company? What's to stop him from going on another pipe bomb? Then you have no choice but to fire him again. Like, ugh. Like I said, I like Punk. I like his personality. He doesn't give a fuck. Like, I respect all of that. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not doing anything but being who you are. And I can do nothing but respect that as a person. But all I'm saying is, WWE, please be careful. And while he is the person that I didn't expect to come back, he got a hell of a lot more grace than Macho Man did. Especially China. Oh, Lord, don't even get me started on that. Because we know how things, if you're a wrestling fan, you know how things ended with China. And she kept making a lot of attempts to come back. But of course, Vinnie Mac said that it was not possible. And they literally blackballed her out of WWE. So China didn't get the same grace as Punk did. But they gave that grace to Hogan because he built the mansion that WWE currently still lives in today. They gave Warrior that grace because even though him and Vince had a hellacious relationship, to say the fucking least. Bret Hart! All these people that have had some sort of legit smoke with Vince McMahon have been able to come back. And the only one that was not granted the same grace that all these wrestlers have gotten in the past, and Punk currently, was not extended to China. And the obvious elephant in the room is the reason why she couldn't come back. But they would low-key mention her in the DX Hall of Fame speech. Okay, as you should. But as far as being a solo inductee in the Hall of Fame, that would mean you couldn't sugarcoat anything. You can't sugarcoat the whole Stephanie and Hunter thing. You can't sugarcoat the fact that her heart was broken because she really seen herself being with Triple H for the rest of her life. And then when Stephanie McMahon came into the picture, came in leaving love letters for Triple H, that would mean that they would have to acknowledge that they played a really big part in her demise. Or not even her demise, but they played a big part in her downfall. And what led to her being depressed, which led her to doing drugs, which led her to doing porn, all this shit that started with the whole Stephanie and Hunter thing, that would mean you would have to address all that. And that is something that I don't think that Hunter is ready to do. Because that would mean taking accountability for what you did. You supposedly loved this woman with all your heart. This woman was the reason why your career became what it was. Because if I'm not mistaken, when he first won the world championship, that wasn't Stephanie by his side. That was China. But, see, I'm getting upset. I knew I was going to go on to this tangent, which is why I wanted to stress this episode out a little bit more. But listen, that still pisses me off. Bottom line is, certain wrestlers didn't get the same grace that certain wrestlers did in coming back to the company. And China was the main one. Point blank. That's all I'm saying. But let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. So I got the numbers for my 2023 rap for Dangerous Sports Talk. And 9 listeners have Dangerous Sports Talk as their top podcast. 15 have Dangerous Sports Talk in their top 10. And 20 listeners have Dangerous Sports Talk in their top 20. So for y'all and the 50% of people that found my podcast this year, because I have 74 followers, to those who found me this year, to those who kept running up the listens on my show, I thank you guys so very much for that. This show wouldn't be what it is if it wasn't for you guys consistently listening to me rant, talk shit, you know what I'm saying? Because I tried my best to give you guys the best quality in sports talk in the best way that I know how to do it. Also, the highest rated podcast of the year was, I believe, the 3 years without Kobe. And the one I was talking about in that same episode where Laheed was mad that he got a no call in the game. So like I said, I thank you guys so very much. I'm truly humbled. I love you guys so much for this. And without you guys, there would be no Be Dangerous, and there would be no Dangerous Sports Talk. And that's some real shit. And on that note, I'm going to get my ass out of here because I'm not feeling too good, but I had to get on here. I had to do a show for you guys and talk about everything. So if you made it this far in the episode, thank you so very much. Keep running me up. Keep listening to me. And I'm going to end it right here. Please follow me, your host, DB Dangerous, on Instagram and Twitter at DB Dangerous. Also, please follow Dangerous Sports Talk, the Facebook page, and follow this very podcast you're listening to right now on Spotify, Pocket Cast, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. And I'm out of here. Peace.